On this episode of Plant Killers, we'll explore one nation's most notorious fruit and vegetable killer, bad dirt. What makes bad dirt so bad? The answer? The ingredients. But fear not, true crime enthusiasts. This story has a happy ending. New Miracle-Gro Organic raised bed and garden soil. It's made with quality organic ingredients from upcycled green waste like compost and aged bark. Unlike the other guys who can't say the same. Looks like bad dirt's murdering days are over, thanks to Miracle-Gro. Join us next time on Plant Killers.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
7 years ago, college wrestler Damien Hurd disappeared from a party in Gunnison, Colorado.
Everyone had been drinking or whatever, the usual party scene.
When, how, and why he left are questions I need your help to understand.
Nobody's heard from him.
No, it's just like he disappeared.
From Cold Case Productions and Podcast One, Final Days on Earth, The Life and Death of Damien Hurd. I'm your host, Claire Sanima. Join me April 20th for the season premiere.
Well, in this show, we talk about James Brolin and his Raptor. We talk about the new Porsche GT3 and what's going on with MGs. We talk about what car I may want to take the Monterey and race this year since it's on. First, there's Matt.
Yeah, you know, Dodge has officially opened orders of the new 2021 Durango SRT Hellcat. This is the most powerful SUV ever. This thing will do 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds. And, you know, they're limited edition. They're exclusive for 2021. Only 2,000 units will be made, so you might want to hurry up and check it out. But, you know, they still have the RT as well, which is the great V8 version. They have a new aggressive styling and interior with a driver-centric cockpit. And all buyers of the SRT will get a full day of pro instruction at the Radford Racing School. Deliveries begin early this year. That's already happening. And you know, Dodge was ranked number one for initial quality and best driver appeal by mass market brands by J.D. Power. It's the first brand ever to be ranked number one in initial quality and appeal in the same year. So see your local Dodge dealer or visit Dodge.com to schedule a test drive.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. The church, but got a mandate. Get on. Welcome to CarCast. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Matt the Moderator, Mr. Agreeable. Matt the Moderator, DeAndrea, over there.
How you doing?
Good. You and my boy Sonny are probably the two most agreeable people on the planet.
I disagree.
And I couldn't see you guys ever having a coarse word with one another.
Sonny's the best. He's my favorite. He's my travel buddy. We go to Monterey.
He's getting pumped about Monterey this year.
He's getting closer to having to purchase that adult ticket for the quail, though. So the prices are going up. He's got to start saving his allowance or mowing lawns or whatever the boy's doing. Is he still wiring up audio systems with Ed?
No. He's going to be taller than you and Chris on this trip, though.
I believe
getting
it.
Tall.
I think he already is, but I've been keeping my distance just so we can
yeah.
see.
Right?
Me
it's,
too.
It's forced perspective, right? As long as he's always like 3 feet behind us when we're walking, any photo, he'll just look like he's about our height. Although Natalia's been taller than me for 3 years. So
oh, yeah.
Fine.
Well, he just, I would say inched out Natalia, but it's millimetered out Natalia. Yeah, he's pumped. I told him we're going to take the Newman Sebring Porsche this year. I think that would be a cool piece for that track. And it has a real interesting history, and Max Zapata can look it up on racingsportscars.com. You just kind of go to that website, and then you go to drivers, and you do Newman, and then you go full archive or something, and all these cars pop up, and you'll see that pink and white Porsche.
The pink and white one. It's a 74 911S.
Yeah. And then you click on it, and then it has this crazy history, which I'm still trying to kind of sort out, because it had no success, but I think it did Sebring like five times and Daytona like five times. It did a lot of those races a lot as the Bullwinkle car. As the blue car.
Yeah.
But you can still see with that crazy tail assembly.
That's one of the giveaways, because some people often get the history of that car confused with
the red Newman Porsche.
Right. Now, you can see a configuration that I've never seen before. I mean, we'll find out when we get to the track and Bruce Canepa tells us all the Porsches have it that way or something and then walks away and it will be disappointed. But I've never seen the whale tail that has the fill in.
Yeah, the sides.
Yeah, the sponsons on the side or whatever the hell we would with canards or whatever. I don't know a good name for it. But
I recall John Hotchkiss knew some history about it, right, because of the Porsches and his family, and he knew something a bit about it. Let me hit this Dodge thing real quick. Dodge was ranked number one for initial quality and best driver appeal for mass market brands by J.D. Power. It's the first brand ever to be ranked number one in initial quality and appeal in the same year. So see your local Dodge dealer or visit Dodge.com to schedule a test drive.
All right.
It's cool, but you're right. Every time we look at it, we're like, well, if it really worked, wouldn't everybody be doing it? So I just think visually it makes a good distinction.
Yeah, everyone would do it. Now, yeah.
See, there it is with the...
If you click on that car, Max Powell will see more history. It's a cool piece. It's a 70s Porsche with big flares. Kind of looks like an RSR, but it doesn't have the center locks in it and a few other things. I guess it was a 911S. I don't even know if it was an S per se, but it was a 74.
I believe it was, at least when you got it, that was the description.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you click on it, it's a little wanky, the website.
Yeah, you click on the image. If you go back and click on the name of the car
or the chassis number,
it might give you some more.
Yeah, if you go to the chassis number of the car, it'll tell you the full history of it, which is a...
I have this bittersweet relationship with this goddamn website. Like, I love the information that it has, and I absolutely hate everything else about the navigation and trying to find stuff. It's just,
I know, but you know, I'm going to try to remain consistent, which is I hear a voice in my head going, so where's your free website with all the car information on it? I go, I don't have one. And they go, well then shut up. I do that to myself. So it started, if you go to the top, so the thing that's kind of interesting about this car, if you go to the top, Maxipata, if you think about this car, it started off, so it says, 24 hours of Daytona 911S in what year was that?
I can't see what the year is.
Doesn't say what year it was. Oh, 73.
Oh, 73. There it is.
Now makes you wonder, is it that car in 73?
I don't know. Because we were told it was a 74.
Yeah, this is all the pictures of the same chassis number. So
right. Well, maybe it started in 73, and then they widened the body, and it's 12 hours of Sebring. Then it keeps going, and then it goes to the
Now it's 75 and 77.
Yeah, mid-Ohio, right. Then it goes to Sebring in 77 as the Newman car. Then it turns into the Bullwinkle racer, and it's more Daytona 24 hours. And I don't know, is it more Sebring? Again, 12 hours. And does it end there?
Wait, what's that year on Sebring, though? That
so it gets up to like 86.
Interesting.
I think there's some stuff in between those. Anyway, it got raced a lot. I mean, a bunch of Sebrings and a few Daytonas, evidently, never did very well. But it's still a Porsche with a lot of racing miles on it. It's kind of a cool, the Porsche Audi thing is kind of a cool livery. It's not really a livery, but the sponsorship of Porsche Audi is kind of cool because I think those 917-30s or whatever they were, Porsche Can-Am cars, open cockpit, you know, basically fastest car ever built sort of thing. Those had the Porsche Audi, Beverly Hills Porsche Audi thing on the side of them.
Yeah, and I think they ran another car as well because when we talked to somebody who, I don't know, at one point owned the dealer, said,
you know, like, oh, you got the wrong car. And then I went back and I said, yeah, I don't think we do. And then we traded a lot of emails and phone calls with chassis numbers and stuff. And he was like, yeah, my bad. You got the right car.
Right.
I was like, all right. We did a lot of work just to make that guy feel better. I was already fine with what we had.
Yeah, I think that car will be a fun car to drive. It's not going to be ultra competitive, but it'll be a fun car to drive, and it'll I think people like seeing that car. I don't think people have seen that car in a long time.
I think a lot of people gravitate toward the crazy wide body, the RSR bodywork you see on those. And although this isn't a real RSR, it had it in the time it raced, it had the huge bodywork on it. So it always looked kind of cool. It was kind of a special car, I thought.
Yeah, the question is it doesn't have that cool slide injection, big plastic trumpet setup on it. It has like a downdraft Weber triple choke.
Doesn't have the Weber expensive pieces.
Super expensive part, which probably works the same or better. Yeah. I don't know. But it might be worth converting at some point down the road. Anyway, so I think that'll be a cool car to take over there.
Yeah, now I don't know when that car was driven last. The previous owner, who unfortunately passed away, we bought it from his estate. So I don't recall if he drove it after he did like the conversion from the orange to the white. You know, because the car was orange years ago. We saw it at auction.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have the right bodywork on it, and he finished the car.
Yeah, it was done up like an IROC. I think it was done up like an IROC Porsche for some reason in the orange.
Mm-hmm.
Memory serves, but who knows? Hasn't been driven in a while. Was campaigned in a kind of vintagey kind of way with the weird different livery on it. And so we'll definitely have to go through it. But I think it's pretty set up. I think it's pretty close to going.
Yeah, just the guy's restoration was you know, that paint and body was very much a cosmetic restoration. So, it's going to be worth shaking it out a little bit.
Yeah.
Run it to the Home Depot and back.
Yeah.
You know, these days people are running around with crazy body kits all over, you know. No one would notice the difference, except for being incredibly loud and no license plate. You just put any license plate on it.
Yeah, it's got a little clearance. You could probably get out and get it on the road. All right. So also, you're driving the VW?
Yes, the Aerion.
What is that?
That's
I saw it in the parking lot. It looked pretty good.
It's their new, I guess you could say, flagship sedan. I think it's their biggest one. It's a good size four-door sedan. I say new just because it's for 21. It's got some updates. It's a good-looking car. It has a lot of room on the inside. And although it has that sleek profile, it is a hatchback. So it's got a bit of, you know, Audi A7 in it, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
The power plant is a 2-liter turbo. You can get it in a front wheel drive or all wheel drive, but it does make pretty good horsepower. I want to say 280. Let me see if I got it right here. 268. 268 horsepower at a turbocharged 2-liter 8-speed transmission. And I don't know. I've been driving around. I got the R line, the Sport Edition with the all wheel drive. It's, you know, it's 0 to 60 and 6 seconds, gets good gas mileage. It's got an active suspension, so it's very comfortable. What's interesting, though, is you start to get this line with these cars when, like, you get into a really nice Toyota Camry or a really nice Volkswagen Aerion, right, or Accord. At what point do you get the fully loaded premium edition leather interior, and then you jump to the next, like the Acura brand, the Infiniti brand. With VW and Audi, I think there's a little bit more separation. This car is, you know, 38 to 48 grand. Maybe you can hit 50 with every single option. You're not getting into an A7, really,
Yeah, well, VW kind of made a mistake when they went with the V12 VW.
W12.
W12. God damn it. Still can't picture W12. But they went with the W12 with the Phaeton or whatever the hell it was. And, you know, it was 88 grand. And everyone's like, not with that VW badge, it ain't.
Yeah.
So
that's
people,
the thing, right?
People didn't want it. Well, that was them shooting for the moon. This is them just trying to get out of the orbit of the Earth. You know, they're kind of, and then it kind of, then the question is you get that car loaded up with all the nav and leather and all the stuff you want, and then you go look at the A7 or the BMW 5 Series or the Audi, whatever they got, Mercedes, whatever. And the Mercedes is, you know, now $9,000 more, but it's stripped.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And so you're like, I want all these bells and whistles. I think the car looks good.
It looks good. It's comfortable. And I'll tell you, it's roomy. That's the thing. It's like if you're a big person or mm-hmm. you travel with big people, there's plenty of room in it. And the hatchback, although it has a kind of a sleek looking profile, that the hatchback has a ton of room in the back. So I don't know. I just feel like in this price range, I got into it and I was like, you know what? I like this car. I kind of like this car quite a bit. New for 21 has a completely digital dash, you know, a screen. You can configure it however, lots of options. The infotainment system seems to work well. My issue is like when it boots up, when you first get into it, it seems rather slow. Like if you have the Sirius XM radio right now, it's got Sirius XM, whatever the subscription is, you know, you get for free or something like that. And it just looks like spinning icons for all the channels. And you're down the road a bit before things start coming
on.
Yeah,
I guess you'd have to go Japanese, because even like my Lincoln, you know, Black Label, still you start that car and you back up and you start heading down the driveway and it's like sometimes not booting, you know, like you know, you hit the channel select and the channel you're on is not the one that's playing. Like it
takes a second.
It has to like wake up or warm up or something. And then there's times it's a little intermittent. It's a little like sometimes you back up and put it in drive and start going forward and it's still blank for a little while. Like it just takes a minute to wake up.
That's why everybody's giving their cars remote start. They're like, hey, if we can't get the infotainment system to boot quicker, we want you to take, you know, 15 steps away as you're getting up to the car. You know?
Yeah, it also does a thing, and I'd be curious, you'd be able to provide an answer, which is, when you're talking on your phone in the car and then you try to get, you know, you pull in your garage and you're talking to Dr. Drew and I go, hold on, I'm getting out of the car. Let me put my earbud in. Put your earbud in, unplug the phone. It goes to the earbud.
Yeah.
Shut the car and walk away. At some point, it goes blank in the earbud. Like it's talking back to the car or something. It's a weird, phenomenon.
Yeah,
you can't get out of the car cleanly. You can put your earbud in and talk on your earbud in the car. Once you're walking away from the car, it'll go silent for 20 seconds or something. It doesn't let you get that full escape.
Well, it depends on how important that call is with Drew.
That's true. They're all important.
Well, one of the things we started to figure out is when you get into the car and you pop it in reverse, that camera has to come on. So even when the rest of the system's booting up, that seems to be sort of an independent thing that's using the screen, not necessarily the whole infotainment computer.
Mm-hmm.
Jaguar was one of the cars that was very frustrating. When you put it in reverse, it's still booting. You're already down your driveway. You've run over the kids' toys, and then the camera goes on. But now that seems to go much, much quicker with a lot of cars.
All right, let me hit Geico here. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, sure you do. You do one or the other. I bet can be hard work too, and I'll tell you what's easy. Bundling your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's that easy at Geico. Geico.com. All right. Let's see. I'm looking at a rundown here. Porsche went through some grueling tests before releasing the new GT3.
Yeah, this was kind of interesting on what I mean, I don't know what their normal testing is, but they're certainly bragging about it now, is the new GT3, which looks cool. You know, it's the fast, naturally aspirated 4-liter, you know, flat six. And they said, oh, as part of our testing, we spent over 160 hours in the wind tunnel just to dial in the rear wing. They did 700.
I wonder if it's got those canards my 74 has.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it doesn't look like it does. It's too bad. But one of the things that was interesting is they wanted to run the car almost continuously at 186 miles an hour. They ran it for 3,100 miles, for them, 5,000 kilometers. Now, they only stopped for driver changes and fuel, but then they had to get back up to speed and then start the clock again and put the miles in. I think it's funny because you're like, God, how long does it take to just do 3,100 miles? Well, 186 miles an hour takes about 17 hours. So so they did it and they just kept doing it, but really trying to push this car as far as durability and things like that. And then, you know, there's also some intense things they've done on just running the car and, you know, heating up the catalytic converters and they went through 600 emissions tests because they don't want that whole
VW
Dieselgate thing. So they're definitely beating on this car. The engine itself, I think, went through 22,000 hours of testing in the car, on the racetrack, in the simulator, and the rig. And I don't know, it's kind of interesting to for their benchmark to say, hey, it needs to be durable.
Yeah.
Right, so let's run 5,000 kilometers at 186 miles an hour. I think the top speed is a little bit more than that. It's like 190 something, but they picked 186 as their sweet spot.
Yeah, it's great. It's kind of overkill, obviously. I mean, people who buy those cars aren't going to be doing that much with them a lot of time, although some guys will definitely get down to the track with those cars. But God bless Porsche. We're glad they're around.
You know what's interesting is that type of car, that high performance, you know, GT3 competitor is a pretty competitive market, right? It's starting anything from AMG GTs to you know McLarens, you know, Lamborghinis, you know, Ferraris in that space. There's actually quite a few cars in that space. So you start to think of how do you separate yourselves from the others? And I think this is actually a very valuable like press release or information Porsche released, right? Because they're saying, hey, that expensive car market has a reputation of being a bit fragile, right? Or warranty issues or, you know, and they're saying we're getting ahead of that. We beat these cars.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a good selling point.
I agree. I'm starting to think the biggest selling point for all those cars is all the guys just throwing revs on PCH in those cars. It's just rev, just throwing revs.
Yeah.
People love quite a bit throwing of that. Those revs around, man. All right. Also, Ford's testing the Raptor R against the Ram TRX.
Right. This is not vehicles that you love, that you're a big fan of, TRX and Raptor. It's just we don't live in an area where you really get to use something like that, right? So seeing the Raptors all up and down the streets, parked on the side of the road, you know, I think I went to your place the other day in Malibu, and there was like two of them parked on PCH Raptors.
It's yeah, just, I mean, in a way, you could make the same argument for all the guys with the McLarens kind of stuck in traffic, throwing the revs, you know.
Right.
It's unnecessary. But, you know, a car guy's a car guy.
Right. So what I do love is this sort of competitive, somewhat friendly competitive banter between Ram and Ford, where Ram comes out with where you know, Ford has a Raptor, and then Ram says, oh, we're going to just take our giant truck and put a Hellcat engine in it with 710 horsepower and all the crazy shocks and the 35-inch tires. And then Ford says, okay, well, we're going to have a new Raptor this summer with the same 450 horsepower V6, but next year we're going to have the Raptor R with the GT500 supercharged V8 engine. So they want to go for that Ram 710 horsepower. And in the truck, I don't know if it's going to be somewhere between 740 or 750, 760, somewhere in that range to sort of one-up them a little bit. And now they're doing it. Like, we're seeing spy shots of it and people who are photographing it and hearing it going, well, that's not the V6, I'll tell you that. I feel like the more the government pushes toward EVs, whether that's the right clean solution or not, I'm still arguing that point. Again, it's that it threatens to take away some of the other things, right? And this is one of those things that is going to do really well because there's that threat of taking it away.
Well, yeah. No, when a Democrat gets voted in and starts talking about all kinds of gun regulations, gun sales go through the roof.
Through the roof.
It's the exact same thing. I'll tell you who's got to be eyeing one of those who doesn't already, his name isn't already on the list, is James Brolin.
Oh, I'm sure.
I get it.
I'm sure.
And he's married to Barbara Streisand. That's so funny. Because, you know, he told me he didn't want the new one with the V6. He wanted the old one with the V8.
Yeah.
So he's a V8 guy, and he likes the grunt. So
this is going to be the one to get next summer. Get on the list for this thing. It's going to be awesome.
I wonder if he has to go like to Barbara and go, hey, I need $86,000. And she goes, like, for what?
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It's a surprise, mostly for me.
I mean, I like James Brolin. God knows what James Brolin is up to, but I don't think he's been working a lot in the last few
years. Well, he doesn't
need
to. I bet his move is, I need $186,000, and then he comes home with a nice ring and a Raptor.
let's see. James Brolin, best ride ever. Best ride ever made. Love my Raptor.
Put that on Instagram.
Yeah. When was that?
71 weeks ago.
It's time for a new Raptor, James.
James, get the order in now for next summer. Everyone's trying to get on that list already. I mean, speaking of lists.
So what's the horsepower of the new one?
So the GT500 is 760 horsepower, so somewhere around there.
760.
I kind of feel like they won't want to one-up that, so they might end up with like a 750, you know, like whatever, rerouting the exhaust.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Something.
The Ram is 760?
The Ram is 710.
Oh, right. That's what
but the GT500
said.
Engine
oh, right.
is 7,
okay.
you know.
And, right.
But speaking of the Bronco that's coming out, we got the baby Bronco, the Bronco mm-hmm. Sport, and we got mm-hmm. the full-size Bronco, which I saw, and it's bigger than you think. It is kind of cool. And Ford is already capitalizing on the fact that people will want a crazier version. So they're creating the Warthog, which is the Bronco Raptor. They're just mm-hmm. not going to call it a Raptor. And it looks badass. But Bronco is... Ford wants to build that as a standalone, I don't want to say brand, but certainly not a title brand. It's still Ford. But the way Mustang is going Mach-E, and then mm-hmm. there's...
Seen a few of those on the road.
Yeah, and they're getting great reviews. They want Bronco to do that. So they have 190 deposits, or sorry, 190,000 deposits on the new Bronco.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe at least two-thirds of those people are definitely getting it. Some people got some deposits from mm-hmm. Fundable. And now Ford's talking to dealers saying, well, who would be interested in doing your own little Bronco-themed building, like a Bronco dealer, Bronco-branded? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think Ford got 100 dealers to sign up on that already. And it's kind of cool looking
Makes
and
sense.
Off-roady. And,
yeah.
And it's a push. They're saying the Bronco Sport and the Bronco and all the variations of those and possibly a pickup truck version like Jeep Gladiator. And then who knows what from there.
Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah, Ford's doing it. I like that Jim Farley.
Yeah, good guy out there racing his Cobra. I got to tell you, when I was young Ryan's age, how old are you, Ryan?
25.
When I was Ryan's age, it was, you know, like 1989, I guess. and 80, 89, 90, somewhere in there, and a little younger than Ryan, I was depressed. I was like, the Corvettes suck, the Mustangs suck, the Ferraris are super expensive and kind of suck. Like, I don't know what Lamborghini's really doing. You know, they're all the Jalpas and weird, weird bi-turbo, this and that. Everything's a slug.
The Maserati bi-turbo.
Yeah, nothing works.
Horse. Catch on fire.
We're going to be out of gas in 3 years. Like, this is not going to be, if I ever get successful and have enough money to buy a nice car, there's not going to be any nice cars. Like, I'm following the trajectory of the Corvette.
Yeah.
And by the time we get to the mid late 90s, it's kind of just heading down. And or the Mustang, I'm just following this, and it's like, oh, there's nothing good. There's nothing good on the horizon. There is so much crazy horsepower, 0 to 60, everything works, everything kicks ass. Like, this is a good time for car guys. All right. Speaking of a good time for car guys, Meguiar's, over the last few years, Meguiar's launched the next generation of protective products specially geared toward the DIYers. Hybrid ceramic spray wax. It's a bright blue bottle. Advanced SiO2 hybrid technology delivers ceramic wax protection and durability beyond traditional wax. Meguiar's hybrid ceramic liquid wax, long-lasting ceramic protection and an easy-to-use wax. Hybrid ceramic spray detailer. I love this stuff. For the in-between, you know, in-between washes, it boosts, it's good for boosted maintenance, removes dust, fingerprints, bird droppings, and this year, and weirdly, the ones that get me the most are the bug droppings, like weird little, those weird little ones. This never squirrel droppings. God bless squirrel. This year, they've expanded to include a new hybrid ceramic wash and wax bright orange bottle, unique two liquid system together in one bucket. Meguiar's has the hybrid solution for you.
We're going to need some of that for your Z outside.
Yeah, it's getting a little
it's getting
dusty.
A little dusty out there.
Yeah.
Ryan said he'll wash it with the two-part bucket wash.
Also, let's see what else. MG could be coming back.
It's kind of an interesting thing. It's I don't know if the company or just the assets or just maybe the trademarks, but a company in China purchased the stuff, and they're saying, hey, what if we tease this idea of an electric roadster? Now, go ahead and get the image of an MG out of your head, because this thing looks nothing like anything classic MG-ish. Chris could find a picture of the MG. But it's an electric roadster. They'd like it, you know, for whatever. They're saying, hey, if we build one of these things, we want to aim for 500-mile range, 0 to 60 in under 3 seconds. But it's kind of over the top. It looks kind of Marvel-ish, sort of sci-fi-ish. It's kind of crazy. But they said it's called a Cyberster instead of a Roadster. Cyberster?
Well, as long as I don't get too nutty with the rims, I'll be fine.
Well, yeah.
What's MG stand for?
I don't remember.
I never really knew.
It's got to be somebody's name, right? It's
just
somebody's
name. Think. Yeah.
That's not the...
Can't be what we're talking
car.
About.
That's not the car.
It's got the word Roadster in it. Mixed
Yeah, Cyberster. MG Cyberster. It's in there.
I mean, it is a Roadster.
If you Google MG electric Roadster, that was the first
one. Yeah, but that's not it, though. That's not it. First of all, that had a roof on it.
Well, don't insult us by putting it up, is what we're saying. All right.
Well, I sent you the link.
I know.
For
I'm getting it. So.
MG Motor Car UK. Let's see. MG Motor.
Is that it?
That is it. That's it.
It's kind of cool. Looks pretty cool.
It is kind of cool. It's just.
Are they going to build it?
Yeah. Are they going to do it? Are they going to move forward with it? Obviously, this is concept car, showy-ish.
Yeah, very Speed Racer from the new version of Speed Racer. Mm-hmm. But cool. Look, it's great. Here's the good news. The good news is people understand there's some value in these marquee names, even if they're not really a marquee name like MG.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I like seeing some kid some 23-year-old kid drinking a Hams beer, you know, or Pabst Blue Ribbon, even if it's ironic. You know what I mean? I like, yeah, like the old school stuff, and people are finding out that these names have value, even if the Chinese just buy them up and do a completely different take on it.
Yeah, it's that looks like a video game kind of car, but it is kind of interesting. You're right. Bring the name back here. MG, by the way, the company started. And there was a place called Morris Garage in Longwall Street, Oxford.
Wow.
And that's where MG started. It was sort of a side business for Morris Garages, which is, I don't know what the...
Interesting. And speaking of old beer and Broncos, that Ole Bronco, when was that due to go off? Was that a Mecum thing?
Yeah, is it Mecum...
Kissimmee?
No, I think that one happened. Is it Indy?
Maybe it's Indy.
You'll have to find it. Well, yeah, what's the Ole Bronco at Mecum? When does that come up?
Yeah, I would be – I'm definitely going to have an eye on that car. That is a very interesting piece to me.
Well, we were saying that if anything's going to hit in that genre of car, hit $1 million, I think that's the one to do it, right?
Yeah, Indy, May 14th. So it's coming up. It'd be fun. Be fun to check that one out, right?
Yeah, I think it would.
I'm gonna want to. I'm gonna be curious on that one.
Well, Mecum sent me the email and said, "Hey, our auction's coming up. You want a bidder pass?" And I was like, "I think we're okay for now." Thanks.
It's a cool piece, and I'm not an off-road guy, but I would definitely be interested in that piece. And if I had
maybe
a million
James
bucks
Brolin will get it
laying around. Yeah, Brolin.
Brolin should get it. Send that to Brolin.
I know he's trying to get that new Raptor. I know it. But God bless Dodge and Ram. I mean,
they're having fun. This really seems like they're having fun. All of those vehicles are just meant to be over the top and fun, which is badass about it.
Yep. All right. Let me hit Policy Genius here. Spring, time to literally get your house in order. Revisit your home and auto insurance with Policy Genius. They've saved reshoppers up to $1,055 a year on home and auto coverage. First, head to PolicyGenius.com, answer a few quick questions about yourself and your property. Then Policy Genius compares rates from America's top insurers, from Progressive to Allstate, to find the lowest quote. They'll look to maximize savings, including bundling home and auto policies. If Policy Genius finds a better rate than you're paying now, they'll switch it over for free. 5-star rating across over thousands of reviews, by the way. Reviews on Trustpilot and Google as well. 5-star all the way. Right, Matt?
Yeah, you know, while you're gearing up for spring cleaning, don't forget to dust off your home and auto insurance policies with Policy Genius. Reshop your rates and you can save up to $1,055. Head to policygenius.com to get started right now. Policy Genius. When it comes to insurance, it's nice to get it right.
Brolin, James Brolin, Josh Brolin's dad.
Josh is a car guy. We saw him in Monterey. We saw him at Gooding Auction.
Oh, we did, didn't we?
Yeah, he was at Gooding and...
When was that?
Yes, that was a few years ago.
James just got a new Porsche, but basically drives the Mini Cooper. Well, he probably drives the Mini Cooper to the Porsche because Bab sees him backing out the driveway in Malibu.
Yeah.
He's got the electric Mini Cooper. He's got the Porsche up the street at his girlfriend's house. He just drives it over just there.
Bab is always like, I don't know what this building is on our property, but...
He's driving out.
Yeah, just a lot of stuff... A lot of fuss going on inside that building.
So he's got he drives his Raptor in the Cooper.
I'm reading an interview with him that was from August, and he says, "Yep, just got a new Porsche, but basically I drive the Mini Cooper, and of course my Raptor truck with the big tires. That's the cowboy side of me."
Yeah,
tires.
we gotta get Brolin together with Goldberg because those guys. On the dirt, they can just tear up on Goldberg's property. He got his Raptor and his Ram, and he's already hot rodded it out. 3 days after he got it, it went from 700 horsepower, so that's 600 at the tires, and I think that it was making almost 900, about 850 at the engine now. He said the onboard computer that's in there, I don't know how accurate it is, but generally, just a list for fun, with the 37-inch tires, he upgraded from 35s to 37s. On his property, he does 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds in that truck.
Why is it quicker with the 37s?
It's not. It would be slower. That's what I'm saying. It's bigger and slower, heavier.
Right.
It's slower with the 37s, and he's still doing 3.5 seconds, 0 to 60s, because he modified it.
What did he do? Did he change a pulley?
Actually, so he's working with a group called Gearhead Fabrications out of Florida, and they're releasing Goldberg Garage power packs, stage one, stage two, stage three for the trucks, and I believe the Hellcat engines. So I think he's running a stage three, which I still think is the stock blower. I think it's his tune, a pulley. I don't know if they ported the blower or not. But they're pushing it about as far as they can go. Granted, they've got good gas. We don't. They've got 93.
Oh, in Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe an intercooler upgrade, a few things to get it to that limit. So that's basically the potential in the engine. And they're going to be doing another stage, which is like a blower swap with a built engine. And, you know, you can sky's the limit from there once you rig it up there. But right now, just sort of dialed in with not a lot of effort. You know, tune, pulley swap, maybe an intercooler upgrade, a couple little things like that. That truck is just hauling ass.
Jesus Christ.
But he's got 200 acres, so he's having fun out there.
God bless Goldberg. Someone's got to tell him he's Jewish and back it off. All right. Last but not least, I'll tell you about Geico, and I'll give you a little road trip story. If you rent, you can get your bundle going with Geico and you bundle up with your automotive policy. And speaking of auto, I was thinking about a road trip story, which was I didn't go on family road trips because my parents were my parents. They didn't have a car that could go on a road trip, but mostly they didn't have the will to go anywhere. But my grandmother used to do a conference up in like where the sequoias are, and like kind of pebble beachy, like redwoody kind of up north, you know. Once a year, she'd go and have a little thing there. I don't even know it. It was just a waste of the taxpayers' money. She worked for the VA out here, and they would have this conference down in it was like Pebble Beach, Redwood City. I'd have to look at the map to find the exact city. But we'd go out there. She had like a early 70s Mercedes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those ones. Max Pata, what year on the Mercedes did they have? It was probably 60s. It was probably like a 68 Mercedes. Do you ever see the speedometer on one of those cars? It's like a barber pole that just goes up and like turns different colors. It's not a dial.
Yeah.
It has that weird lump on top of the dash and it just goes up. And as it goes up, it like changes colors. You ever ridden in one of those cars?
No.
It's mind blowing.
I'm sure we've seen it at auctions, but
But you don't see it fired up and driving.
No, you don't get to see it.
When you're 7 years old, it's nuts. But my grandparents once a year would head out that way, and they'd take me and my sister, and we'd stay at this hotel that just I couldn't have been a nice hotel. It was a motel because the sign on the front said free jelly beans.
Oh.
Which is not normally something I
but
don't
that's
make
a
my
selling point. That's the sign out there.
But
it's
when
not
Matt
free
books,
HBO.
When Matt books my places, I don't do it based on jelly beans, although maybe I should shift my
It'd be
focus.
A fantastic option in Travelocity if it was a checkbox if you want free jelly beans.
So we would go hit the road and my grandmother one time. And the big deal is there's one nice restaurant in Big Sur. It was like Big Sur. That's where we'd go. How far away is Big Sur
from
where we go in Pebble Beach?
Yeah, that's a good question.
But Big Sur was the big deal. And there's like a one nice restaurant. And we just go there once a year.
Sizzler.
And we're going to this restaurant in Big Sur. And we're driving there. And, of course, my grandmother, she likes to have a glass of wine with dinner, you know. And we were driving there, but she's super cheap. So she's not going to go to the Big Sur restaurant and order a glass bottle of wine. So she brings her own bottle, right?
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to Big Sur, and at some point, my grandma's like, oh, I forgot the bottle of wine. And she just hooks a U-turn, and the cop pulls her over. And the cop's like, where's your license? Big Sur's 30 miles away from Pebble Beach. Big Sur's great. And the cop goes, it's funny. I learned a very valuable lesson about lying. She hooked a Yui because she forgot her booze.
Her booze.
The cop pulled her up and said, license and registration. And she forgot her license, too. Yeah. My grandmother may have not been as responsible as I remember.
Maybe not.
So the cop goes, where's your license? And she's like, oh, the reason I hooked the U-turn is because I realized I forgot my license.
Yeah.
And I was heading back.
Yeah.
So she's heading back to get booze. But she said, I was heading back to get my license. And yeah. The guy's like, oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that's why you hooked the U-turn.
That's fine. Right. I know exactly where it is. Right underneath my wine bottle. I will go back and get it there. I put it there so I wouldn't forget the license.
All right. You can go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save at geico.com today. All right. I'm going to be at Appleton, Wisconsin Skyline Comedy Club May 7th and 8th doing stand-up and podcast there. Golden, Colorado coming up June 18th, 19th, Royal Oak, Michigan. September 10th in Kansas City on September 11th. You go to amcroll.com for all you need, and you can see all our chassis stuff on our Pluto TV channel 585. What do you got, Matt?
Yeah, check me out at Motorator on my social media. We were having a nice conversation about the Toyota Tacoma. I'll put this VW up there as well.
So, till next time, Adam Kroll for Matt, the Motorator, DeAndrea saying, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Here you are. BPM's high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy.
And your plants do too. Aw, I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.